want to join the other brethren in welcoming everybody out here this morning. I know we're a little bit on the light side on the crowd, so I really appreciate your participation in the services so far. Also, really appreciate all the prayers on my behalf, and hopefully so far the service has been edifying to you, and I pray that the study this morning will be as well. I know I've really enjoyed studying this topic, so hopefully I can portray that in a way that's interesting and will help you throughout the rest of your Christian life. So for my next few slots, we're going to be starting a series. We're going to be looking at this idea about the tree being planted by the water. That comes from the book of Jeremiah. So we're going to look about how can we be more like the tree planted by the water. So if we start off by reading in Jeremiah chapter 17, we're going to read verse 7 and 8. This is going to come from the New King James Version. So Jeremiah 17, beginning in verse 7, says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit." So here's this idea about a tree being planted by the water, and it talks about comparing that with a man who trusts in the Lord. So it gives us a few things here, a few descriptions of this tree. It says it spreads out its roots by the river. So its roots grow by the river, and it's taking in nourishment. It says it will not fear when heat comes, because once again, it has that nourishment that it needs to withstand the heat. It's not going to be anxious in the year of drought, so it doesn't worry about things it can't control. And it also will not cease from yielding fruit. So it's always going to be bearing fruit for others to enjoy. So this is the description of the tree planted by the water. And on the flip side of that, if we back up a couple of verses, beginning in verse 5, we have a comparison to make. So in verse 5, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man, and makes his flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in the salt land which is not inhabited." So if we compare the shrub in the desert to the tree planted by the water, just right off the bat, which one sounds more appealing to you? Well, to me, it's a tree planted by the water. So let's take a look and see what these may look like. On one side, you have this tree planted, shrub in the desert. Now, sometimes we think we might live in a desert being out here in West Texas, but it's really not a desert. If you think about being a shrub in the desert, think about a desert being really hot and windy. There's no rain, there's no moisture that comes, and how miserable that must be. And we've got blowing dust here every now and then, and it's not very fun to go outside when it's blowing dust and it's beating against your skin. It kind of hurts. Well, think about being like that all the time. And if you're a shrub in the desert, you can't do anything about it. You can't move, you can't change your situation, you can't go closer to water if you want. You're planted. You're there for life. And then on the other side, let's think about this tree being planted by the water and how nice and peaceful that must be. If you've ever, taken a picnic underneath a shade tree, how relaxing is that? You're sitting under this tree, you've got a river right beside you, so you hear the flowing river and the birds chirping and just how nice and relaxing that will be. You've got a cool breeze going against you. You're not worrying about the sun because you're underneath a shade tree. How nice and peaceful is that? Well, that's what I want to talk about over the next few sermons, is how we can have this peace and the relaxation of being like the tree planted by the water, and in comparing that to being like the shrub in the desert. So how can we be like this tree? You know, it sounds really good to me to want to be like the tree planted by the water. You have constant nourishment. Nourishment's always there for you. It says it spreads out his roots so he can soak up nourishment. If you know much about a tree, that's where they get most of their nourishment from. It comes in from the roots. So how can we ground ourselves and have a root system like this tree planted by the water? One thing I did want to point out just briefly is it talks about that the tree will not fear when heat comes, and its leaves are always green. It also is not careful in the year of drought or anxious in the year of drought. It does not say that the heat won't come. And it does not say that the drought won't come. It just says we don't have to worry about it. So there may be hard times still being like this tree planted by the water, but we don't have to worry about it because we have plenty of nourishment to withstand it. If you look over in the book of Matthew chapter 7, reading verse 17 through 19, Matthew 7, verse 17 says, "Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." So here we have, once again, the idea about being a tree. But now we need to focus a little bit more detail about being a good tree by good fruit. Well, how does a good tree produce good fruit? For one, it has to take in good nourishment. If it doesn't take in the things it needs, like nitrogen and potassium and phosphorus, if it doesn't take in those good chemicals that it needs, it can't produce good fruit. It might produce poisonous fruit or fruit that's going to be bad for somebody. So now for a little while, I want to look at just a couple of things of how we can find our nourishment to grow from and be like this tree planted by water, which is going to produce good fruit. So the first way we can do this is by prayer. So when we look at prayer, we look about talking with God and growing closer to God. So we want to grow our roots. So we grow our roots by growing closer to God. If we look over in the book of Psalms, chapter 116, we'll read verses 1 through 4. Psalms 116, beginning in verse 1, says, "I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compass me, and the pains of hell get hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul." So the psalmist here is writing about when he's praying to God, that he has trust in God and that he loves God because he knows that God hears his voice and his supplications. He knows that his prayers are not in vain. That's the same love and trust that we can have in God when we pray today. So just from this one verse alone, that should be able to tell you that you can grow in God just by praying to God. But we're going to look at it a little bit further. What should we pray for? You know, if you've never prayed before or you haven't prayed much, you might not know what you need to pray for. How do you talk to God who you don't physically hear talk back to you? How do you do that? Well, let's look. Matthew chapter 26, verse 39 gives us one example. This is Jesus talking here right before he's about to go on the cross. And Jesus said, "And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." So if you think about Jesus in this situation, he knows he's about to take some excruciating pain and he's going to be killed on the cross for you and I. He didn't deserve it, but he knew what was about to happen. So the first thing he prayed, he said, "Let this pass from me." So he was praying his supplications, the things that were agonizing to him, that were weighing on him. But notice how he finished it. He said, "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Above all things, Jesus wanted the Father, God's will, to be done. So that's one example of the things we should pray for today. We should pray for God's will to be done in our lives, whatever that will may be. We should want to be subject to that will. We also have another example where Jesus is praying in John chapter 17. John chapter 17, reading verse 17 through 21. Jesus says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." So this is Jesus praying at the time. He's praying to God about his disciples and his followers, that they be sanctified, that they have unity, that they be as one, as we are as one, as Jesus said. If you look in verse 20, it says, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." So who is that? Well, that's us. We believe in Jesus through the apostles' words and through the Bible. So Jesus back then was praying for you and I. So Jesus prays for other people. He prays for other Christians. He says he doesn't pray for the world, but he prays for those who believe in him. So if you believe in Jesus, Jesus has prayed for you. And he prays that your lives may be sanctified and that we may have unity, we may be as one body in Christ. As Jesus and God are as one, we may be one with them. So that's another thing we pray for. We also pray that the kingdom may grow. Matthew chapter 9, verse 38 says, "Pray ye therefore that the Lord of harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." So we know there's a lot of work that can be done. If you've ever done a job, and it's a really big job, you might look at it at first and say, "There's just too much, I can't handle it all." Well, sometimes that's how work in the kingdom is like. There's so much that we can't handle it all. So Jesus tells us here to pray for the Lord of the harvest, that he'll send more laborers, that the body will grow in number, grow in strength, grow in spirit. So that's something else that we can pray for. We pray that we may gain, we may grow, not for our sakes, but for the kingdom's sake. So we talked about how Jesus prayed for the kingdom and how the kingdom would grow. Now we know that we need to be praying for one another. In James chapter 5, verse 16, it says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." So we pray for one another. If we know someone's sick or if they're in trouble or they need help spiritually or physically, we pray for those people. And it says that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That means your prayer will not go in vain. If you're praying fervently, that your prayer is going to be good. It will help. We may not always get the answers we want or that we desire, but remember the very first one we read in Matthew 26:39. Above all, we pray for God's will to be done, that Jesus teaches us. So we pray for one another. Well, what do we pray another for? What should I be praying for you about? Well, if we look over in Colossians chapter 1, reading verse 9 and 11, Paul gives us a pretty good example. Colossians 1, beginning of verse 9, it says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with his might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. So Paul is saying here is like one thing we pray for is that others may be filled with knowledge, that they may be filled with understanding in God's word. It also says that we pray that you may walk worthy of God. So not only that you know and understand God's word, but you walk according to God's word. We pray that each other should be fruitful, that they should bear fruit for the kingdom. So once again, we can continue to grow the kingdom. We pray once again that we increase in the knowledge of God. We pray for each other that we might be strengthened. And we pray that we might have patience and long-suffering and be joyful. So these are a few examples of things that we can pray for one another about. So you can pray for me and I can pray for you. So that we all may continue to grow in unity. That we all may continue to be sanctified and grow closer to God. But what's something else we should pray about? Most of these that we have looked at so far is always praying for somebody else. It's praying for the kingdom. It's praying for each other. It's praying for those who believe in Christ. Well, we can pray for ourselves. We can pray for the things that are going on in our lives that we're having trouble with. If you look at Philippians chapter 4, reading verse 6, it says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Remember when we were talking about the tree planted by the water, said he's not anxious in the year of drought. Well, that's what he means. He doesn't worry about the year of drought. And in Philippians, he's telling us to don't worry about anything. Anything that's hard times coming your way, says don't worry about it. But instead of worrying about it, pray about it. It says make your prayers and supplications be known to God. Lay them at his feet so he can take care of them. So you can pray for yourself as well. There's one little caveat here. He says, with thanksgiving. Now, if we pray with thanksgiving, what does that mean to you? Well, to me, it means count your blessings. If you're praying with thanksgiving, you're thanking God for all the things he's done in your life. And if you really slow down and thank God for everything he's done in your life, you really won't worry about anything because you'll remember all the blessings that you have. So we pray to God our supplications, the things that are hindering us or that are bothering us, and we count our blessings at the same time. So you can pray for yourself. So these are a few things that we should pray for. By doing this, we'll be able to continue to grow our root system in Christ. We'll be able to continue to take in that nourishment. And remember in Psalms it told us that we're going to have love and trust in God because He will hear your prayers. When we continue to pray, we'll continue to grow and be like the tree planted by the water. So now we know what we should pray for, but when should we pray? Well, a very simple answer is in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It says, pray without ceasing. That means don't stop. That means start praying and just don't stop. So that's, you know, a really easy answer, continually. We also have another example in James chapter 5. James 5 verse 13, it says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with the oil in the name of the Lord. So here we have a couple of examples. It says if you're afflicted, if you have pain, sickness, physically or spiritually, if you're hurting for any reason, it says to pray. Remember, we just read to not worry about anything, but give your supplications to God. Give those burdens to God. Well, and it also talks about, is any sick among you, let him call on the elders of the church to pray for him. So if someone is sick, physically or spiritually, once again, call upon the elders so they can pray for you. Or call upon your brothers or sisters. They don't have to be elders. So we have this where we can pray again for ourselves and we can pray again for somebody else. This is when you're afflicted, when you're sick, when you need help. And also remember to pray with thanksgiving. Don't forget. So this is a little bit about prayer. How we can grow our root system by praying, which probably we don't do enough. We need to continue to do it more. If we do it more, we'll be like that tree planted by the water. Remember we talked just a little bit about that tree, how peaceful it is, how relaxing that is. You can have peace and relaxation when you pray. It will help. Well, what's another way we can look at? One other example that we'll look at in the first part of this series is meditation. So what is meditation? Psalms chapter 1, beginning in verse 1 through 3, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So once again, we have this idea about being a tree planted by the water. It says you can be a tree planted by the water when you meditate on God's law. You meditate on His Word. But what does meditating mean? A lot of people have this idea about meditating. First thing I think of when I hear the word meditate is I just think of yoga. Not really sure why, but just yoga pops into my mind. You're sitting there, you've got your legs crossed, you're holding your hands out. You know, might be saying Om or something like that. That's what I think about meditating, but that's not what meditating is. If you look up in the Strong's, what meditating, the word to meditate, means, in the Strong's, it says to ponder. If you look it up in the dictionary, it says to engage in thought or contemplation. So for simplicity's sake, it just means to think about it. You don't have to sit in a special area. You don't have to exclude yourself from everything. It just means to think about it. So when we think about God's Word, we think about God's law, it says we can be a tree planted by the rivers of water. Well, in Joshua chapter 1, reading verse 8, it says that we should meditate continually. Joshua 1, verse 8, it says, the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So it says if we want to make our way prosperous, we want to have good success spiritually, not earthly. If we want to have good success, we meditate on God's Word continually. We think about God's Word continually. Think about everything He's done for us. We think about from the creation, the beginning of time, all through the prophets. We think about Jesus Christ coming here to give us a perfect example to live. Think about Jesus Christ's sacrifice. We think about how the apostles denied their lives and gave them up for Christ so that we could learn from their examples as well. Think about all these things in God's Word that we have. how nice and peaceful that is. How you can have the peace of the tree planted by the waters just by thinking on God's word continually. When we think on God's word, we'll be able to observe God's word, what it says in Joshua. It says, you'll meditate therein day and night that you may observe to do according to what is written therein. So when we think on God's word, we'll remember God's word, his precepts and his laws, so we'll be able to live by God's word. You know, there's studies that show that meditating or thinking upon good things, thinking upon God's word, can actually reduce stress, can reduce anxiety, depression, high blood pressures, diabetes, and many other physical ailments just by meditating. You know, your mind is a really powerful thing. Your mind controls your whole body. And by thinking upon good things, it can reduce all these physical ailments in your life. So I've got a question for you this morning. Do you think we live in a nice, peaceful world? Do you think we're automatically going to be by that tree planted by the water, having peace, relaxation? When I think of peaceful times, you know, Shannon and I, we used to watch the Dick Van Dyke Show a lot, the Andy Griffith Show. I just think, man, that would be awesome to go back to those times. So everybody's happy, everybody's friendly. And I know that wasn't the case. That's just a TV show. But do you think we live in that kind of fantasy world today? Well, of course not. If we look at a few stats this morning, it says that 71% of Americans last year in 2013 reported stress about money. 71%. That is a lot of people reporting stress about money. You don't have to have money to survive, but yet we stress about it all the time. You know, 67 million people have high blood pressure. That's roughly 31% of the American population. 67 million people have high blood pressure. And we can say that's due to so many things, to your diet, to your way of life, but more times than not, it's due to stress and anxiety. High blood pressure. 14.8 million people have major depression. This isn't minor depression, this is major depression. That's a physical ailment that can actually keep you from doing certain things because you're depressed. Depression is also the leading cause of disability. I would have never guessed that in my life. I would have said it's car accidents, it's sicknesses like cancers or heart attacks, something like that. But no, it's depression. Depression is the leading cause of disability. That keeps people from going to work. It keeps people from enjoying vacation because they're depressed. So do you think we live in this nice, peaceful world? Going back to that about high blood pressure with the 67 million, that's about 1 in 3 of adults. And there's only about half, 47%, that actually have their high blood pressure under control. And that's with prescriptions. So we have to have man-made drugs to keep it under control, and only about half of that actually works. High blood pressure costs the nation $47.5 billion every year. And 71% of people report stress over money. $47.5 billion a year in America because high blood pressure. That doesn't sound very nice. Doesn't sound very good. Doesn't sound like peaceful and relaxation, like the tree planted by the water. Doesn't sound very good. So what would happen if everyone would just slow down a little bit, take a breath, and meditate on God's word? How many lives could be changed just by meditating on His righteousness? Just by thinking about all the good things in your life. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. You know, you can find all of these things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report. You can find all of these things in God's righteousness. That is the only place you can find all these things. So when we think upon these things, or we meditate upon these things, we'll have more peace. You know, we just read a few verses ahead of this in chapter 6. It says, don't be worrying about things. It says to pray to God. And now it says to think about on the good things. So prayer and meditation go hand in hand. You pray to God the things that are concerning you. You pray for one another. And you meditate on God's righteousness. You meditate on God's laws. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 and 6, it says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things that are of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." You know, we talk about this being carnally minded or being worldly minded, think upon all the things of the world, the high blood pressure, the diabetes, all the bad things. And then we think about these spiritually minded things, God's righteousness, God's laws. We don't really talk about them too much. To be spiritually minded means to meditate on God's laws. It means to think about on God's righteousness. That is what spiritually minded is. So it tells us if we're carnally minded, we're thinking upon all the things of the world. We're stressing about money, stressing about all the physical ailments in our life, everything that could go wrong but hasn't happened yet. Thinking about all those things, it says, is death. It's killing yourself by thinking about all the worldly things. Then we think about God's Word. Think about God's righteousness. Think about our Savior, Jesus Christ, who came and died for you and I. Thinking about upon those things, we have peace. We have relaxation. We have comfort. We're like the tree planted by the rivers of water. See, there's a constant theme here. You can either be like the shrub in the desert and be carnally minded, or you can be like the tree and have peace. Continue to take in that nourishment like the tree by the water. Psalms chapter 119, verse 15 and 16, it says, "I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes, and I will not forget thy word." So the psalmist here is saying, I'm going to think about the righteous things. I'm going to think about God's laws. I'm going to have respect to them. I will also delight myself in his statutes. I know that they help me. I know that they are there to guide me. And when we meditate on God's word, we think about those things all the time, continually, we will not forget them. So don't forget God's words. So meditate them. So in conclusion, we've briefly discussed just a couple ways to help grow our roots in Christ. To be like the tree, spreading out our roots, soaking up the nourishment, so we don't have to worry about the drought, we don't have to worry about the hard times. We can continue to bear fruit in his name. We've talked just a couple ways of how we can do that this morning, and that was by prayer and meditation. The next couple parts of the series, we'll talk about some other ways we can grow our roots in Christ. We grow on by spreading out our roots and bringing in the nourishment that God has freely provided for you and I today. You just have to be the one who wants to take them in. You know, none of this that we've talked about this morning will matter if you haven't been planted in faith to begin with. If you haven't planted your soul in Christ Jesus, then it doesn't matter how much you try to take in the nourishment. You're planted in the desert like the shrub. You're not even planted close to nourishment. So you have to be planted in the right place to begin with. And that's in fertile ground. That's in Jesus' blood. It's where you have to be planted in. You can plant your faith in Christ by crucifying your life of sin and beginning as a new seed in Christ's blood. You know, if you're living worldly today, you're the shrub, whether you like to admit it or not. You're planted as a shrub in the desert. And there's nothing you can do about it to move yourself or to change your ways. You have to crucify that shrub and be planted again anew in Christ's blood. And wash away your sins. If you've already done that and you've planted yourself in the right spot and you feel like your faith maybe, or your faith and your spiritual self may be starting to wither in the harsh heat, then it's time to soak up more nourishment. You know, when you look at a tree and you can see it withering, you can see the heat is taking a toll on it, and you can see the leaves starting to turn brown, starting to fall off. You can tell that that tree is struggling, and if you look at the cause, it's because of its roots are not taking in enough nourishment. So if you feel like your spiritual self is starting to wither and the heat's getting to you, we need to get back to your roots and get those nourishments coming back in. Take them back in. And that's from prayer and meditation, as we talked about this morning. We can let the church help you soak up some of that clean and refreshing nourishment that's freely provided. You just have to take it in. You know, we talked about if you're sick or if you're afflicted, call upon the elders to pray for you, and you can do that this morning. If you're spiritually sick and you need some help, you can call upon the elders, and we can pray for you. We can help you. Let Jesus help you. If there be one of either class you need to plant yourself in Christ this morning, or if you need the prayers of the church for any reason at all, We ask you to come forward and have a seat on the front pew while we stand, while we sing.